welcome back to another Mean Green Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Reed Smith, and I'm joined by my co-host, Milo Mahalsis. How are you today, my friend?
I am great, as always. Excited to finally get another episode of another Mean Green Podcast underway. It's been quite a while since we last talked, but we are back. I'm back with a vengeance.
We are so back. The urge to say we're back 5 minutes after saying it's over. It was never over. There was never any discussions of it being over. But as always, life happens. I've been quite busy with my studies, and you've been busy with work. And I've been busy with work as well, and I went to College Station, and that's a whole story in itself.
You don't have any travel tales to tell us this time around?
Any travel tales from College Station? Not really. It was not an eventful trip. I showed up, UNT softball lost 12-0, I left. That's pretty much what happened.
The venue was cool, though.
Oh, the venue.
The venue, yeah.
It was beautiful. The Davis Diamond.
The double D was very nice.
It was quite lovely, if I do say so myself. Really, I mean, all jokes aside, it was one of the better softball venues, if not the best softball venue I have ever been to in my life. It looked really good. Had a lot of seats, like legit seats, not, you know, bleachers. Really nice open press box. Just nice.
They give you a name tag, right? Or
they sure did.
They printed your name out.
They sure did. Here, 1 second. There it is.
Reed Smith, Mean Green 247.
Yeah, there it is.
They got the A&M logo on there, though.
They did. Oh. They did. And the funniest thing about A&M is that they refuse to call themselves Texas A&M University. It's only Texas University. Or what's it called? They call them the Texas Aggies. They call themselves that. They refuse to admit that they are not the flagship school of Texas. And, you know, that's why they call Texas University TU, because they say the University of Texas is not the University of Texas. It's just the university in Texas.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Little competition there.
Well, I mean, their fight song is literally goodbye.
Yeah, they reference each other in their fight songs. Yeah.
Yep.
Because they both live rent-free in each other's heads.
I know. Like, I hate it when Texas fans on Twitter are like, well, actually, we don't live in your head as much as yours, or we live in yours. But
it goes both ways.
There's goodbye to Texas University in the fight song for A&M, and then the fight song for Texas has the line, and it's goodbye to A&M. So both are petty. It's a rivalry. That trip was uneventful. I hate driving anywhere like Central or East Texas. It's just dark.
It's boring. There's nothing out there.
It's boring. I'm not going to say which town, but driving into College Station, there is a town that I did not feel particularly safe in as a person of color. And that's all I'm going to, that's all I'm going to disclose about that.
There's a handful of those towns and cities in Texas.
We do live. Well, I live in the South. You do not anymore.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You made it out.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. How have you been? I mean, in these last 2.5 weeks, we've kept up, but enlighten the viewers. Listen.
Enlightening the viewers. I've been okay. I've been all right. I had some good quality time to myself as my girlfriend took a brief hiatus from me. She went on a plane and flew back to Texas. She had to meet up with some friends and whatnot. So I spent some nice quality alone time here with my good old cat, and we had some fun.
Good.
When she came back, we spent the weekend together and went and indulged in some pickleball. I know that's a little bit, it's a little bit out of my range. I know we've never had a pickleball discussion here on this podcast, but
we're not a pickleball pod.
No, but I think it was fun to give it a run, give it a try for the first time. Her friend has actually kind of put her on that sport, I guess, if you want to call it a sport.
Yeah.
You know, after playing it, I could see it as sport. You know, it requires quite a bit of physical activity. You know, you're running back and forth trying to hit the ball. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Were you good at it?
Was I good at it?
Yes.
We tied. We played two games, and she won the first one. I came back from being down 10-1.
Whoa.
A historic comeback.
My God. Plays
even better than the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Bro went crazy.
I did. And I came back from being down 10-1 to win 11-10.
Well.
But so, yeah, I don't know. Kind of a mixed bag. I'm okay. I think with more practice, I'll probably get better. Yeah. But it was definitely fun for a first experience. You know, it was nice. The weather was nice, as it usually is here.
Yeah.
And it was just good to get out there and try something new. So catch me on the pickleball courts in the future.
It's funny you mentioned playing something against your girlfriend, because last night I partook in a little bit of horse in my driveway with Casey. We went to my parents' house. Yesterday was my sister's birthday. Casey was invited over. She was there with my family. I just randomly grabbed a basketball. My family still has like the childhood hoop in the driveway, big old driveway. And so we got the old basketball, started shooting around, and all of a sudden the competitor of number 29, she goes, "You want to play horse?" And I'm like, "Okay, we can play horse." I'm a little nervous because obviously she's a college athlete. I am not. So the first few rounds are fine. I go down it's tied at H to H, and then I become a hoe, and then I become something I can't say on the podcast, and then I become a horse with no E. And before it's all said and done, it's horse to hoe. I lost. Casey was making mid-rangers. She was making threes. She couldn't make layups because she didn't want to run. But
damn,
which I should have used to my advantage. But I decided to be a nice boyfriend, and just when it was my turn to pick a shot, I was taking easy middies, or hard middies and hard shots, and I couldn't bring home the dub.
Not enough Irish spring greens.
No, not
enough. Not enough green FNs.
No, I did not. I did not have any green FNs.
you didn't quite look like Peter Griffin on the fadeaway, but
yeah, did not look like him. In the words of a wise man, it is what it is. You and I both lost to our girlfriends this weekend. I mean, you won one, I didn't.
It's okay. It still makes for a very good memory for the two of us.
Oh, for sure. I had a great time with her. She's back for spring break. She doesn't go back to Beverly until Sunday. So it's been good to have her back. You know, it's the girlfriend. It's good to have her here. She straightened her hair. So she straightened her hair. She usually has like really curly hair. She straightened her hair, and I have short hair now. So we're a completely different looking couple than we were a week ago.
A new look heading out of spring break for the two of you.
For sure. Did you have any semblance of a spring break, or does that not exist after college?
Nope, doesn't exist. Now you can create a break whenever you want with PTO, but I choose not to. So I'm committed. I'm dedicated to working away in the corporate culture. So I haven't found a reason to take time off, because I think my girlfriend and I, we have to kind of coordinate when we're going to take PTO off. And so she's kind of scheduled her PTO out.
Yeah.
Whereas me, you know, I kind of am saving my PTO for when I need it. I know there's going to be a time where I have to go fly back to Texas again this summer. So I'm kind of saving my PTO for that. But that's down the line. But yeah, so in short, no real spring break, of course, after you graduate, unfortunately.
That is unfortunate. That makes me sad.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
enjoy it while it lasts. You know what? I'm still kind of mad. I'm still kind of mad that UNT decided to implement a fall break. They implemented a fall break the semester after I graduated.
No. And I will be happy to bleep myself here. The fall break, man. That is the worst thing they've ever done, because now we don't get out until like end of May.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So fall break made things significantly longer.
Wow. Well, I don't know. That'd be interesting to kind of poll the students about. You know, little pro tip for those of you who are writing for the North Texas Daily. Maybe go out and publish a story over what students think about fall break. Do they like it? Do they not? Do they like getting out a little bit later, or do they want their extra time now?
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure they will. I know some daily folk listen to our podcast. Hello, gang. Welcome to the podcast. All right. Anyway, let's get into North Texas softball. You can sit out of this one, but there is a pertinent thing that you can talk about later. Bro's snoozing. If y'all could see this.
He's literally
sleeping on a chair. You'll never get it. You'll never understand. Softball, it's literally been since February 28th, so I have a lot to talk about.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's yapper time. All right. So softball went to Auburn. They lost 3 of 4 games they played at the Auburn Invitational. They beat Northwestern to start the weekend, and then from there lost to South Carolina, upset. I'm thinking March Madness already. They lost to South Carolina Upstate. They then lost to Northwestern, and then they lost to Auburn, the hosts. It was not a good weekend for the Mean Green, but do not fret, ladies and gentlemen. The next Wednesday, they played Texas A&M and suffered the worst loss in the Rodney DeLong era, 12-0 in 5 innings. But do not fret, ladies and gentlemen, once again, they played East Carolina at home, swept them out. The Pirates were gone. East Carolina gotten rid of in the sweep fashion, and there was nothing gentlemanly about it. It was straight 3-0. Sunday was a close game. Not as close as it looked. 7-4. Mikayla Smith hit a huge grand slam. That's not important. That's old news. That's yesterday's news. Then play Abilene Christian in a midweek matchup, and they're whack. It's a whack opponent. Morgan Medford gets her debut on the season. Daughter of Keith Medford. Old Keith. John Fields knows a thing or two about Keith Medford. He's a Denton Geyer head coach. His daughter Morgan went to Tarleton State, was a standout there, then transferred to North Texas. And do you want to know why, Milo? It is because of the dumbest rule in college sports.
What is that?
Tarleton, since they moved from Division II to Division I, cannot compete in postseason play for years.
They did years. Didn't they do the same thing with the was it James Madison? Whatever football team was ranked this year.
Yeah, but then they changed it.
Yeah, so they made an exception for them?
They made an exception for them, but they have not for Tarleton State yet.
That's dumb.
Which is dumb.
One of the many dumb NCAA rules.
For sure. But Morgan Medford made her debut, hit an RBI ground out. I mean, a little bit of an underwhelming thing to say an RBI ground out, but it was a big moment for her. She was emotional in the post-game conference with me. Obviously, playing in your hometown for the first time is a big deal for anybody, and she was very emotional during it. And since then, she got a couple of starts for the Mean Green against UTSA this weekend. Milo, Texas San Antonio, they were UTSA-ing it up. They have a new park. It looks pretty nice. I told you a week ago or a couple weeks ago that UTSA had a field of softball that was a metal fence with a tarp over it, and they didn't have real dugouts. Well, they did build them a real softball stadium with real walls and real dugouts. Finally, it's not as nice as Lovelace, but it was an okay looking stadium rather. I, of course, was at basketball all weekend. Couldn't really report or watch UNT softball this weekend. but they got it done in San Antonio. They win the series, take 2 out of 3. And this is where I want you to come in, Milo, because I want your opinion to know if this is fair or not. So UNT wins the first game 10-8. It's a doubleheader on Friday. They win the second game 6-1. Kaylee Gamble hit a home run in the first game of the series. That was big for them. Kaylee Gamble, of course, is chasing history this year, trailing Susan Waters by now 12 home runs. If she hits 13 home runs this season, she will be the all-time home run leader in Mean Green history. She is, of course, chasing other records, but the home run record is the one you want. Do you think Barry Bonds wanted 4,000 hits like Pete Rose? No, he wanted to do steroids and hit the long ball. Chicks love the long ball, and chicks hit the long ball because Kaylee Gamble is a power threat, and she found her power stroke this weekend with 2 home runs. She now has 4 on the season, needs 9 more.
That was phenomenally executed.
Thank you. But here, Milo, here's where you come in. On Sunday, after Saturday, they just completely canceled Saturday. The team stayed in San Antonio, but they canceled Saturday because it was just going to rain all day. So they don't play Saturday. They tune in on Sunday afternoon. And Milo, they had 3 rain delays. So UNT takes the lead, right? 2-0 first inning. Rain delay. Then UTSA scores 2 runs to tie it in the 3rd. Rain delay. They come back for the 5th, 6th, and 7th. And what do you know? UTSA scores a run in the 5th and a run in the 6th. My mom makes fun of me because I cannot say 6th correct. But UTSA gets the final game. They get what is pretty much a consolation game to get their first American Athletic Conference win of the season. It was really not a good weekend for Mackenzie Wagoner, the ace of the UNT staff, of course. Mackenzie did not have a good weekend, but she got the loss in the contest, which is why I mentioned it. She had 3 hits, 1 earned run. But I wanted to ask you, Milo, do you think it's fair that they had 3 rain delays that kind of ruined the Mean Green's momentum and still played the game on Sunday?
No.
Me either.
I think after the second one, you cancel it. If anything, after the first one, you check the weather, make sure it's not going to get that bad again to the point where you need to postpone it or delay the game, and then you make a decision from there. Mm-hmm. But to continuously delay it like that after you've already started play, I think you just got to cancel the game. I think you just got to cancel the game or postpone it, one of two. Because, I mean, think about it. They don't really do that in other sports, right? Other sports, typically, it's a one-and-done situation where it's like, yeah, we might delay it once, and then that's it. If we delay it, and then it gets to a certain point where we run the risk of if we start it back up, it's going to get delayed again, then we just say, we'll cut it, we'll scrap it, and we'll play it again at a later date, or we won't play it at all.
For sure.
So to continuously have to, you know, start the game up, oh, now we're going to go back into the locker room or dugout or whatever it's called, and then come back again, like, that's it kills momentum, like you said. It kills momentum. It's not very fair to both teams, not just UNT. Even though UTSA came away with the win, it's still also unfair to them because of, you know, their momentum that they're building throughout the game, and how comfortable they feel playing throughout that day. It's just not really fair to have 3 different rain delays. Just one and done. You know, if you find that one of them is not good enough, then you just got to play the game another day.
And can you not? I mean, with softball, usually when they postpone a game, they just don't play that game, which is kind of hard to do in terms of scheduling wise, because then you have scenarios in which a team didn't play a game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
One less
so
game.
I get it's hard, but I don't know. I think that's a little bit unfair to both teams.
Well, I think it's dumb that, I don't know if the American does this, but I thought it was dumb in the Conference USA, where they didn't really make up games. Listen, I know it's hard to make up games, but you're really telling me that UTSA couldn't make the 5-hour trip up to Lovelace, or UNT couldn't make the trip down to San Antonio on a Wednesday they didn't have scheduled?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. anyway, I'm glad we're in agreement on that, because I just thought that was kind of weird, because the official account just kept tweeting, oh, we're in delay again. Oh, we're in delay again. And it's like,
yeah, you're wasting everyone's time as well.
Or at least make the postpone, because I guess they couldn't help it because lightning in the area. But if you know that the weather, it could or is going to get bad, why don't you just wait completely until you know for sure there's not going to be a lightning strike?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just seemed kind of dumb to me. But as I was saying, Mackenzie Wagner, the ace of the UNT staff, did not have a really great day. She pitched 4 innings and on 6 hits, gave up 7 runs, 4 of them being earned. She had a walk and 3 strikeouts. Just wasn't a great day for Miss Wagner. She came on in relief on the final game of the day, or of the series rather, pitched an inning, gave up 3 hits, 1 hit, 1 run. So just not a great weekend, but you expect her to bounce back. But Milo, it was a great week for Mackenzie Childers, your American Athletic Conference Pitcher of the Week.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Good to see.
I know you had
that's my input
about it. Yeah, great. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm not very educated in softball, but always good to see when mean green players are being recognized for their talents. Always good to see if you're a mean green fan.
Indeed, for sure. She pitches a complete game the second game of the doubleheader on Friday night. 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 earned run. She walked 3, but Milo, the big one is she struck out a career high 13 batters. Wow. 21 outs in a game, 13 of them went down via the punch out for Mac Childers. And then in the final game of the series, she goes 4 innings, gives up 2 runs on 4 hits, walks 3, strikes out 4. Obviously not the greatest outing there, but it was a solid outing. I mean, overall, when you go 11 innings pitched on a weekend with 7 hits, 3 earned runs, and a shocking 17 strikeouts and a big one for Mackenzie, only 6 walks, you deserve Pitcher of the Week, and she sure got it. She brought down her season ERA from 5.20 to 4.46, and she's stringing together good starts, and that's all you can ask for from a young sophomore righty with as much velo as she has. I mean, she can really chuck it. And she sure does chuck it hard. But she just needs to get a little bit of more confidence in the circle, be a little more assertive out there. And a good way to do that is winning 2 of your last 3 and striking out, let's look at this, 30 or 26 batters in your last 3 games started. So congratulations to Miss Mackenzie Childers on your AAC Player of the Week. If they can get her going, Wagner and Childers being a 1-2 punch could be a big deal. But Milo, they're playing the Tulsa Golden Hurricane this weekend. My favorite name in sports. Of course, you and I speculated that there should be a new Red River rivalry between Tulsa and UNT that's played at C.H. Collins Complex and what we call the Mid-River Rivalry. And so UNT will have their series of the Mid-River Rivalry this weekend. Man.
Very, very nice to see. Yeah, that Mid-River Rivalry. That would definitely be interesting. I mean, think about it. You know, Tulsa is a school that they don't really have a lot of fans. UNT, they have fans, but unfortunately, they're kind of like that little brother that's always like saying, hey, I'm better than you. I can beat you up. And then all the other big name schools are kind of looking out on them. They're like, no, you're not. So to have Tulsa be UNT's mid-river rival, I think that would definitely be pretty good for them because, you know, it'd bring an opponent on their level.
For sure. It's Red River Junior.
There you go. You know? Red River Junior.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, Texas and OU plays at the Cotton Bowl. What's the most convenient for maybe they could play it like for football. Maybe the Mid-River Rivalry game. I mean, we said CH Collins Complex, but that's not really central. Maybe they could play it like What's a venue between Texas and Oklahoma that's like not big or historic at all?
I don't know. Maybe if they
maybe Allen Eagles.
Maybe if they build a facility, a Windstar.
The Windstar Bowl.
Yeah, they could. They could, you know, all that money used to funnel that casino, they could just put a portion of that, maybe a not even a fourth, maybe you put a fifth or a sixth of that, and you set it aside for a sports facility complex. There, I mean, it's already a resort, right?
Now you're cooking with oil. Yeah, now you're cooking with oil.
If anything, they have a pool there currently, so you can have the swim and dive team that could square off against each other already. In the mid-river rivalry. Yeah, but they don't even swim in a river at that point. They're swimming in a pool. I don't know. So I don't know how accurate that would be.
That's beautiful. They should just build a smaller version of the Cotton Bowl and call it like the Dandelion Bowl, and that's where the mid-river rivalry will be played.
That would be perfect. There you go.
All right. Well, back on track. You're a distraction to my softball read.
Continue reading.
Thank you. I want to spotlight offensive players here before we're done. Morgan Medford picks up her first hit in the mean green jersey. Milo, she's good. They knew she was good coming from Tarleton. Now she kind of affirmed that in UTSA. She goes 5-4-11 on the weekend. 357 batting average for the infielder. Darn it. Darn it. Nit, 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 nit. It's a new threat for Rodney Long. It's a new threat. And, man, she will be hitting. He told me after she played Abilene Christian, he said, what we want to do is we want to get her more at-bats. And, man, she played all three games versus UTSA. She got those at-bats, and she took the most of them. That's all you want from a player that should be of Morgan Medford's caliber, is that she gets those opportunities and grabs them by the horns. So that is our offensive player of the weekend. She picks up a single RBI on the weekend. She now has two on the season, but five hits. She could be a very important batter in the middle of this UNT order. Now, a little bit about the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes before we get into basketball. It's going to be a very even series, Milo. Tulsa is 18-8, 5-1 in conference. UNT heads into this one 15-12, 5-1 in conference. Now, a little bit of an important stat. UNT is 10-5. At home at Lovelace, where they will be playing this series. Away from home, Tulsa is 7-2. So if they say something has got to give. And man, Tulsa looks like they're going to be the ones who come in and challenge UNT for the first time, because East Carolina did not really challenge the Mean Green all too much. Their best batter on the season is Mackenzie Denson, 449 batting average. She has an OPS of 1,041, 40 hits, 10 runs batted in. She's stolen, doesn't say how many bases she's stolen, but she has 49 total bases. Anytime you see anybody with an over 1,000 OPS, you know they're trouble. Imani Edwards has also been a solid threat for them with a 960 OPS. She gets on base really well at a 419 clip. She has two home runs, but you need to look for Kylie Nash in the circle for the Golden Hurricane. She's their ace, 5-2, 272 ERA. Don't let Annika Anderson's 6-0 record fool you. She has a 380 ERA, and she has been the better pitcher strikeout-wise, but Kylie Nash has been getting it done overall with that 5-2 record. 272 ERA, she's walked 30, and she struck out 35, so perhaps a little bit of control issues for Anderson, or for Nash, rather. But Nash and Anderson, will look to be the stars of Tulsa in the circle and try to shut down this Mean Green offense that is coming off a pretty good weekend. I'm finally done.
Phenomenal analysis.
Yeah.
There you go. No means to pump your tires at all, but I don't see any other Mean Green outlet that's providing as good of softball content as that.
Hey, 24/7 has been the softball home since 2023. So,
yeah, and I know those softball players appreciate any coverage that they can get. All means, take it away.
For sure, for sure. Thank you for trying to get the Do Not Laugh Challenge at the end there. Of course. Yes, it's always hard when I can see you and you're doing things. What a lovely day, Milo. I wonder what's happening.
Yeah it has been a lovely day. It's been great.
Just a lovely morning at approximately 7:30 or a.m. Surely nothing bad will happen behind you.
Yeah, I sure hope not.
Yeah, but, I don't think there will.
Speaking of things that turned out pretty bad, are we jumping into the hardwood yet?
Let's get into the hardwood.
There you go.
What's better than one March Madness Junior?
Two
March Madness Juniors. Milo, both. You don't want to say that they're going dancing because they're not going dancing.
They're going shuffling.
They're going shuffling. Yep. Women's basketball and men's basketball have made the respective invitational tournaments. Of course, the women's basketball invitational tournament is different from the WNIT because the WBIT is AT&T sanctioned, is NCAA sanctioned. It is an official tournament, and Desiree Colonel, Jason Burton, and the Knowers of the Lone Star Conference will be taking on the WBAT or BIT in its inaugural playing, while UNT tomorrow men's basketball takes on Louisiana State University in the first round of the National Invitation Tournament. Seven teams declined to partake in the NIT this season.
They're revolting. Yes.
Opening the door for North Texas to play in the tournament. And Milo, their first round opponent, they're in Baton Rouge for LSU. Now that's an interesting opponent because you thought they should have beat LSU earlier in the season.
I did. So that's news to me that they're playing a team that they already played. So that also plays to their advantage, but they get a little bit of a revenge opportunity, but it also plays to LSU's advantage because it's a familiar face. They've seen UNT. They said, yeah, we beat them once earlier this season. We'll do it again. So it's going to be really interesting to see how UNT fares against this. It's a team that they've seen before. I'd like to say that they've watched their handful of film on top of that. They've also experienced it. So I think it'll be a true test to them. This program has shown that they can beat a Power 5 big name school in the NIT before last year. Of course, I think of Wisconsin and Oklahoma State. So I think LSU will be a good first challenge for them. And for I think it's a modest consolation prize.
I think so. I just hit octaves that aren't known to man.
Wow.
I
think the Mean Green are pretty good.
I think that they might compete, if Jason Edwards can get it going.
We're starting to sound like some familiar faces. Some people we know.
Yeah. I can't say the joke I want.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. All right. Jordan Wright leads the Tigers. 31 games played, averages 15-1 a game, 33% from the field. It's going to be an interesting matchup. Just to concur with what you say, you know, obviously LSU beat UNT at the Charleston Classic earlier this season. You and I had a lengthy discussion about that one. I said that, you know, North Texas is good, or is they're going to be fine. They're going to be all right. It's going to be good. Don't worry about it, bro. It's all good. Nothing's going to happen. And something happened. They were not as good. Let's just call a spade, because I feel like people don't do this about this program enough. This season was not great.
No, and I called it from the beginning.
You did.
I called it from the beginning. I know there were some people that said, well, this is still a program that's, you know, predicated off success. They're great. They're going to do fine. I personally did not see very many people, you know, giving a concerned attitude about McCaslin leaving. A lot of people, they treated it like it was nothing. Dude, this is the guy that, I mean, this is your Oppenheimer. This is the guy that created the monster of North Texas being a powerhouse G5 basketball school. And you lose that, and now what do you have? Well, you just kind of have a mid to decent program, right? You don't have anything. You lost the master, the maestro behind your success. And I know you can sit there and say, oh, well, you had players that contributed to that as well. You had Tyler Perry, you had Jamie Hamlet. Yeah, but the one thing that stayed consistent all along was
Grant McCaslin. And this team just didn't – at the tournament, we can talk about the tournament a little bit now. Did you watch the games?
I did not have the opportunity.
Or the game. Yeah, you didn't have the opportunity.
But I did frequently check I saw the FAU score. They were neck and neck with them towards the end. And
so obviously I was there.
Yep.
I was there. I was at the old Dickies Arena. And listen, it just was not good enough from the Mean Green. They beat Tulane. They looked really good in that win against Tulane. Against FAU, what is the biggest problem that you and I have pointed out about this UNT team other than Garrett McCaslin is gone? And just to be full disclosure on my part, I think Ross Hodge will be fine, but this is the first year of a rebuild. And a lot of people forget that it is a rebuild, because the way they marketed this is, well, it's Ross Hodge, a chip off the old McCaslin block.
Exactly.
There's not going to be any adjustments, though. The train keeps a rolling. Chugga, 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 chugga.
Exactly.
But that's not what happened. He did not. It's a rebuild. I'm sorry. It's a rebuild.
Exactly. And nobody mentioned that. And I think you're explaining it perfectly. Nobody mentioned that it was a rebuild, and everybody just kind of said, oh, we're still going to be competitive. We're still going to be the same old team. It's Ross Hodge. Chip off the McCaslin tree, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, not enough people really looked at that and realize that, which is not great. But my biggest thing with UNT is that they did not have all number five. I'm sorry, but any way you spin it, and I have been on the record as saying that I think Jason Edwards is a better scoring threat than Tyler Perry, and I still believe that. I think Jason Edwards is a better scoring threat than Tyler Perry, but this is going to sound like some Michael Jordan versus Kobe Bryant old arguments. With 5 seconds left in the game, who would you rather give the ball, Tyler Perry or Jason Edwards? You'd give it to Tyler Perry because the kid is a closer. He closes games. He makes the tough buckets when you need him to make these tough buckets. Against Texas, before they lost to Iowa State, who ended up winning the Big 12 for what it's worth, he was making corner threes while falling over. He was making logo threes. He was making tough layups with like 5 minutes to go because Tyler Perry is a closer.
He's UNT, got the clutch gene in him.
They just didn't have a closer this season. No. There were so many games, including this LSU game we're looking at, where UNT looked like the better team all day. For a lot of their games they lost, they looked like the better team all day against eventual American Athletic Conference champions, UAB. They were the better team all day, but then just could not make the shots going down the stretch. And guess what? They have a defensive breakdown, and Yaxel Lindeborg finds his way into the paint and dunks on their ass to tie the game. Now, listen, the thing is, it's just they don't have a guy that – who on the Mean Green do you look at and go, all right, give it to that guy and he'll go and win you the game?
Well, it should be Reuben Jones.
it should be Reuben Jones because he's the senior, but Reuben is a very solid player. Reuben is a true point guard, which is a good thing. But with a true point guard who passes and distributes and plays defense, you also need the guy that you can turn to at the end of games. Jason Edwards just wasn't that guy. Jason Edwards was supposed to be that guy, but you have to realize that while he is a sophomore, his freshman year was in JUCO. And listen, there's a lot of good players in JUCO. There are a lot of good teams, and there are a lot of good players in JUCO. But making that jump is a second-year overall player from JUCO to Division I. You're basically a freshman, is how you got to look at it. This is a freshman among people who have been playing in this league for 2, 3, 4 years. Because it's different when you see guys like Javian Hamlet and Tyler Perry transfer to UNT, because they were like juniors and seniors transferring to UNT. Edwards was a 19-year-old kid when he transferred here. He still has to get reps under his belt. Do I think he figures it out and does become that clutch person that UNT needs? Oh, for sure. As soon as he's able to calm himself down in huge situations, then he'll be fine. But they needed that guy that can just stay 10 toes down and make the shots when you need him to, like Tyler Perry did for this team the last 2 years. Think about how many games that it was like Tyler Perry with a minute to go. Oh, and he's made it. You know,
stole him so many games.
Yeah, he did. And even Kai Huntsbury last year, Kai Huntsbury was. He did not light up the scoreboard, but at the end of the game, when you needed someone to be a hard-nosed defender and make the shot, Kai Huntsbury was your guy, and it's because he was a fifth-year senior. There's something about having that experience of a guy that can score and is experienced. Reuben is an experienced guy who plays really good D and can shoot well, but like I said, he's a pure point guard. He cannot score at like a high clip.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think watching him play, he's not necessarily the flashiest player.
No.
But I mean, he's just an efficient guy. He's an efficient player he'll get you the points when needed, but I think in the clutch, he's more of the guy that gets the apple. He's the guy that sets up the play. He's not the finisher.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey.
Oops.
Oh, hey, yo. All right. Well, what's interesting, Milo, is this NIT bracket. Well, before we get to that, let's talk about some women's basketball.
Let's do that.
Disappointing end for Jason Burton's squad in the quarterfinals.
Very disappointing. One and done from this team? Is that Did anybody expect that?
No.
No. Not at
all. Co-champions. In the regular season, then they get to the postseason. They face a very tough Rice team that, once again, for what it's worth, won the American Athletic Conference this season. Rice is going dancing. That sounds like an event I'd like to be at, dancing with Rice.
That's crazy.
No, they looked shaky in the first half. They figured it out in the second half. And then, you know, you get four opportunities to win the game. You had Desiree Colonel from the free throw line after Hardaway got injured, misses both free throws. Then you have Desiree Colonel with a layup that's pretty much punted into the first row of seats. And then finally you have a open three look for Jocelyn Moore, would have won the game had it gone in. I mean, she was wide open, left completely open from three. That's a shot she will make 9 out of 10 times. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the 10th time in that 9 of 10 scenario because she missed it. And as the ball rattled out, I believe Zach Babb had a heart attack, and that ended the regular season, at least, for the Mean Green. It was a good season regardless. See, you can the problems that we had with this season for Ross Hodge and the men's team are not pertinent for the women's team. Ross Hodge, or rather Jason Burton, did a fantastic job no matter how you spin it. Program record in wins, first title in 38 years. brought in a couple of great players, really changed the culture immediately. Season's not over, but even if it ends immediately, Texas Christian on Thursday, there is nothing wrong with what happened, in my opinion. I think that no matter how the season ends, that UNT had a fantastic season that they should be extremely proud of.
Yeah, I think given the circumstances, definitely you've got to take a step back and appreciate what you've got done. I mean, you literally changed the culture of the program in 1 year. And, you know, this the culture of the women's basketball program was not very good prior to the start of this year. So to come in your first year, Jason Burton, and do what he did, unbelievable stuff. It is disappointing. This is a team that, I mean, the way that they went through this season, it looked like they were unstoppable. I think I mentioned on our last episode that, you know, this is a team that had the potential to go dancing. And
yeah, we did.
Yeah, just unfortunate stuff. But regardless, yeah, they should be proud of themselves.
For sure.
What they did.
Season ain't over, though. They'll face TCU in the first round. They'll be in Fort Worth on Thursday. I do not believe I'll be at that game, more than likely. But they play at 7:30 p.m. on the Horned Frogs home court. Here's my thing about UNT Women's Basketball. I'll be curious to see how year two looks, because you lose your flag carriers and Colonel and Deani Robinson, the real cultivators of culture, if you will. Along with Burton, did their effect on the team, did it resonate enough with the team to where now they're going to go on from it and they're going to go, wow, I feel like we can do everything we did without Desiree Colonel. You know, Tamisha Lampkin's a junior. You don't know if she's going to transfer. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, I was trying to find a way around it, but you don't know if Tamisha's going to transfer. If I'm her, I'm not going to tell you the answer on the podcast, but I think everyone can guess out of context clues. Milo knows what I'm doing.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean.
And why not?
You got to get yours. You got to get yours.
Yeah.
And you know, UNT can't pay up. Let's be real.
Yeah. I mean, given the previous history with this program, maybe an opportunity like this only comes once in every 4 years, right? So make the most of it. Capitalize on it. Because you don't know, right? I think a situation like this is kind of tough to be in, because was now the question that we're already starting to ask and that we will continue to ask up until the start of next year is, was this a fraudulent season? Was it a fluke? Right? Was it just 1 year, or will Burton's message resonate for years to come with this team?
Exactly.
So
for sure.
I think if you're one of those star players on this team, you've got to be looking at it like, okay, am I going to continue to facilitate this magic that we've got going on, or am I going to just capitalize off my individual success and go look towards the greener grass?
For sure.
You never know.
You really don't. But yeah, like we said, regardless of outcome, it the inaugural women's basketball invitation tournament, which, listen, I feel bad for the WNIT, because the WNIT was independent from NCAA. So the NCAA just said, you know what, screw it. Let's make our own NIT. And that's how the BIT was born. Like I said, North Texas taking on TCU. If they win that game, they'll play the winner of Mississippi State and Georgia Tech. So it's going to be a tough road for the Mean Green regardless. But I wanted to get to that NIT bracket, because Milo, we need to make our picks for it. Are we going to come to an agreement, or are we just going to say who we think it is?
Let's just go down the list. Let's say
the number one seed, Seton Hall, who many people thought should have made the big show, versus St. Joseph's. Seton Hall finishes 20-12 on the season. St. Joseph's finished 21-13. I think that's an easy Seton Hall victory.
Give me 1 second. I'm pulling this up real quick.
Admittedly, I
should have been more prepared. Really? Let me see. I just got it. Look at that. I need to check my mail. There you go. Okay. Yep. So, Seton Hall, St. Joseph, Seton Hall, the one seed, St. Joseph. Yeah, I'm going Seton Hall. I'm just going to play it safe.
We're in agreement. LSU, North Texas.
Yeah.
I'm going LSU. Give me LSU.
Yeah, give me a one and done. Unless this team comes out with a vengeance, I'm going LSU.
Yep. Give me LSU. Providence, Boston College. Now, I think Providence, they play in the A-10. That's a hard league. Or rather, the Big East. Big East is a hard league. Give me Providence. I'm not saying the ACC is an easy league because it's hard as hell, but give me Providence over Boston College.
Yeah, I'll go Providence too.
And then Princeton, the Ivy League. Ivy League standouts from this season, 24-4. They have one of my favorite AAPI ballers, Xavien Lee, on their team. Myself is a AAPI baller myself, is why I'm saying that. Give me
UNLV.
Give me Princeton.
UNLV. I'm going UNLV. I need an upset here, and I think UNLV's got me here.
Would you have gotten accepted into Princeton if you applied in high school?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really? I also would have gone into Cornell, UC Irvine. Let's see, who was Villanova? I would have gotten into all of them.
Wow. Nice.
No, I would not. not with my 1110 SAT score. No.
Jesus. I think it was
1110, I think.
I don't remember. I think I got in the 1300s.
Oh, you would have gotten into Princeton. Look at that.
Probably. Wake Forest versus App State.
Appy State. Wake Forest,
of course, from the ACC. App State from the Sun Belt Conference.
Sun Belt, yeah.
Wake Forest.
Yeah, let's go Wake Forest. I feel like there's not going to be as many upsets in the NIT.
So. Wake Forest.
Woke Forest.
The Big East's Xavier versus the SEC's Georgia. Give me Georgia.
Georgia. Xavier. I know they're a team that they've got some good postseason history. I know they looks like they finished under 500, but give me Xavier.
Charles Xavier. All right. The ACC's Virginia Tech versus Richmond.
Richmond. Yeah. you go ahead, go first.
I like the A-10. Give me Richmond.
I'll go Virginia Tech.
Damn.
Because, you know, they were pretty good. It was Virginia Tech, right? It was Virginia that won the NCAA. They beat Tech in the final, right? A couple years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they also beat UNT in the NIT one time.
Oh, well, Virginia Tech, not quite Virginia, but give me Virginia Tech.
All right.
We'll go with that.
The Ohio State versus Cornell. Give me Ivy League again, man. I'm feeling studious. Cornell.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
All right. The Indiana State one seed on the right side, led by Mr. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem?
That's crazy. Versus every UNT fan's favorite Dallas University, Southern Methodist.
Who are we going with?
I'm going with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I'm going to upset some people. I'm going to ruffle some feathers. SM who? Give me that.
SM who?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
Yeah, I know. That's hilarious.
You will be murdered by everyone.
Wop, wop, wop.
Give me the Rabia Vila Masterclass. Cream Apple Jabbar. Just one more time. All right. Butler from the Big East versus the Big Ten's Minnesota.
Butler. Got to go Butler here. They got a lot of good postseason success, I think. Seen their name a lot around the NCAA tourney. So, yep. Got to go Butler.
Bradley.
Bradley.
Big Bradley.
Never heard of Bradley before.
The Valley.
Bradley.
They're from the Valley Conference. They're, you know what one of their big wins is this season?
What is it?
Over Alabama Birmingham.
Ooh. UAB.
Big Bad Brad versus Sister Jean at Loyola Chicago.
Sister Jean deserves one last NCAA tournament, one last March Madness. It's kind of a shame that Loyola's in the NIT.
Why is it one last, huh?
I don't know. I guess she'll outlive Betty White in case she hasn't already.
Betty White's dead.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying she's gonna outlive Betty White.
Well, she already did.
She already did. Well, yeah. Betty how White's old? Dead. How old are they though? Like, you know, like
Sister Jean? I don't know.
Yeah, how old is she?
I don't know, sister.
Because if Betty White died before her but was, you know, older, then she hasn't outlived her yet.
Holy moly, she's outlived her by a lot. Do you not know how old Sister Jean is?
What, 107?
104.
Oh, my that's God. Crazy, dude.
Sister Jean.
Yeah, I gotta go Sister Jean here with
yeah Loyola. you can't pull against Sister
yeah
Jean.
sorry Brad yeah
my bad Brad Jean.
Yeah Loyola. Yeah
all right the Big 12 Cincinnati versus San Francisco.
I gotta rep my local school San Francisco. Well, local as in, you know, 7 hours away, but San Francisco.
Soon local.
Yeah, soon local. There you go.
The West Coast Conference is San Francisco. I'll go with them as well. I think they are better than Cincinnati.
Well, you know, Steph Curry is he's in the area there. And so his aura just radiates to that team. So don't be surprised if that team ends up dropping a lot of threes.
There you go.
There's my great analysis.
He has Steph Curry disease.
It's curritis.
All right. Villanova of the Big East versus Virginia Commonwealth University of the A-10. I like
VCU's game. There's no way that's what it's called. Is that really what it's called? Virginia Commonwealth? You're yes. Kidding me. Really?
I'm not kidding you. No. Yes, that's what it's called. How did you not know this?
I don't know. I don't know what I thought it stood for. Virginia Canyon University? I don't know.
Virginia Canyon is crazy.
There's no canyons in Virginia. But no. It's not that I know of.
It's the Commonwealth, you know?
Sounds like a bank. Virginia Commonwealth?
Well, that's what jurisdictions used to be called. Like, Boston was the Commonwealth.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's like a common people.
Huh. Well, yeah. They're not common enough to get a dub in my book. Give me Villanova.
Give me VCU.
The Battle of V's.
All right. UCF versus the American Athletic Conference regular season title winners, South Florida.
Shit talkers. Oh, yeah. Just out of spite, I'm going UCF. I'm sorry.
I know. You're valid. You're valid. Yeah. I'll go South Florida. I think Casey and Pryor has a good game. You know, I could see Youngblood, the AAC co-player of the year, Chris Youngblood. I could see him.
His last name is Youngblood. That's crazy.
His name is Chris Youngblood. His name is Chris Youngblood. All right. Big Ten. Iowa versus Tyler Perry. And the Kansas State Wildcats.
You got to go with the reigning NIT champ, Tyler Perry. Give me K-State.
All right. I will agree with you there. I'll go K-State. And finally, but definitely least, Utah versus the University of California, Irvine.
Hometown team, again, UC Irvine. Even though I know they're probably going to lose.
Yeah, give me Utah.
You can pencil me in for UC Irvine. Just for jokes.
give me damn Utah.
There you go.
All right, well, that will round out our first round predictions. We're not doing a whole bracket because we didn't write it down.
Ask me who we picked 5 minutes ago.
Those are our first round picks, and if you don't agree with, we'll just do round by round, of course. All right, North Texas, not a seed, playing LSU, the 4 seed, in Baton Rouge. Can they repeat as NIT champions? Who will know? It all ends at Hinkle Fieldhouse on April 4th.
Hinkle.
At 7 p.m. Be there or be square. I feel like many people will be square this afternoon, unlike a circle, which is very similarly shaped to a conventional clock, which makes me think of the time. And it's time to check that timing. It is time for Milo's take.
Better check that timing. It's time for Milo's take.
Milo's take this week. We're going to talk about the NFL. NFL free agency just opened up. I think it was last week. Justin Fields, the NFL's most controversial quarterback for blowing ass, was just traded. He was just traded the other day to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers, though, here's where it gets interesting. The Steelers already got a quarterback in free agency. They signed Russ Wilson. So you sit there and you go, well, you know, they got rid of Pickett.
Pickett
brought on Russ Wilson, they're all set. Let's ride. But then they trade for Justin Fields. And so you sit here and you wonder, well, what does this mean for the Steelers situation? I am by no means a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I just think this is very interesting because Justin Fields was one of the most highly regarded quarterbacks in his draft class. And this is a guy that hasn't really lived up to expectations. I know that there's, you know, Chicago Bears fans and, you know, NFL fans in general are watching this guy and they're like, what's going on? I know he plays for Chicago. They're a bad team. But this guy hasn't really showed any promises. He's kind of shown a little bit of flashes, but hasn't really proven that he can be a starting quarterback. And therefore, Chicago, they packed his bags for him and they shipped him off to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Steel City. So what does this mean for Justin Fields? He's going into a Pittsburgh team that's already got a starting quarterback guy in Russ Wilson. I mean, Russ, he proved himself in the second half of the season with the Denver Broncos. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens with Justin Fields. I think to kind of jump into my take, make it as clear as possible, this could be the end of the line for Justin Fields if he can't outdo Russ Wilson for that starting job. I don't know if there's going to be competition at all, or maybe the Steelers are just already envisioning Fields as the backup, but I'm sure he's going to make a case to be the starter there. And I think if he isn't able to compete with Wilson at all, I think this is probably the end of the line, and you know, I think he might go down the same path as Sam Darnold, a career backup.
Yeah, I mean, could be, but my thing is, is he bring, like, kind of your point? Is he being brought in as a backup, or is he being brought in as a contingency plan?
Right, right. And so I think either way, you know, if he's being brought in as a backup, well, then it already is the end of the line for him. But you know, if it's a you know, contingent situation, then I could see him, you know, trying to give Wilson a run for his money, because Fields is, I think he's a guy that unfortunately he suffered from playing for a pretty shitty Chicago Bears team.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see that with Caleb Williams too, unfortunately. But I think the difference is that Williams has obviously, he's just a completely different player from Justin Fields. Justin Fields came in as kind of like a fringe, potentially elite quarterback, and Williams is coming in as a franchise QB. So, yeah, I bet Chicago was just kind of eager to dump Fields off. But, yeah, we'll see what happens for him because he's a guy that kind of had a little bit of talent coming into the league.
Yeah, you know, I think that overall, if he is a backup, he'll be pretty disappointing because he did some cool things in college with Ohio State, was always good on his feet, had a really good arm. I still think he does have those traits. They just need to be refined. But if they're not refined now, then when will they be refined?
Right. And that's why I kind of think that it's, you know, he might be nearing the end of the line for him. Because once you kind of establish yourself as a backup, it's kind of difficult to kind of reestablish yourself as a starter, if that makes sense. Most players that get banished to that backup QB role, they kind of sit there. I know Geno Smith is one who's kind of beat those allegations, but it doesn't come that often.
Listen, I love my quarterback, but when he said I ain't right back.
Yeah, he didn't write back. They wrote him off, but he didn't write back. Yeah.
Bro, if our podcast existed when he said that, I would have named my own quarterback the Cornball of the Week.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Aside from Justin Fields, I will say that the NFL free agency was pretty interesting. A ton of running backs found new homes. Unfortunately, for Cowboys fans, I know a lot of Mean Green fans are also Cowboys fans, you didn't get a new RB1. You didn't get
one.
But that's all I'm going to say for NFL free agency, and I think that'll round out my take. So best of luck to Justin Fields.
All right. Thank you for your take. It was a brief one, but a copious and well said one this week, Mr. Mahaltzis. Very, 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 very nice. And it will take us into Cornball of the Week. And I'll start us off. Since you just spoke for 5 minutes, I'll give myself some speaking time. My Cornball of the Week is the A-10 Conference.
The A-10.
Yes. Do you want to know what happened at the A-10?
What?
All right. We're at the beginning of the second half. Right?
Right.
Duquesne versus Virginia Commonwealth University.
VCU.
The VCU Rams. All of a sudden, confetti comes flying from the rafters.
I think I saw that.
Yeah. Kevin Harlan on the call. Couldn't have been a better person on the call.
Oh, he's your favorite.
There's confetti falling from the rafters. No,
yeah,
great
it's
college
fixed.
Basketball moment.
It was
great
fixed.
College basketball moment. But red and dark blue falling from the rafters? I don't know. Yeah, so I don't think it's a coincidence. Very strange, very strange. That's my Cornball of the Week. Who's yours?
So this might get a little raunchy here, but...
Lord.
The Orlando Magic took on the Toronto Raptors the other night. And after the game, Grady Dick and Anthony Black, two rookies in the NBA, they exchanged jerseys. And when two players exchange jerseys, they take a picture of each other holding their respective jerseys. A little jersey swap action here. Show a sign of respect. Well, let me just reiterate their names. It was Grady Dick and Anthony Black. So you can imagine when they flip their jerseys around, it says... And, well, let's just say Twitter had a lot of fun with that. But Twitter found out about it through the Orlando Magic social media. The Orlando Magic actually posted a picture of it and said, with the caption, Class of 23. Of course, they were referencing the fact that both the players were drafted in the 2023 NBA draft. But yeah, so the Orlando Magic posted that, and they saw nothing wrong with it. The social media manager, he saw absolutely nothing wrong with two players holding up jerseys that read from left to right. So, of course, once Twitter quickly started, you know, pulling together a good chuckle about it, the Orlando Magic quickly, they took it down.
Oh, my
God. And yeah, but at that point, it's too late. Everybody's already seen the picture. Everybody knows about it.
Knows about it. It's crazy.
Everybody knows about now. That's,
oh yeah, every that's, time you say that, just keep in mind, every time you say that, I have to bleep something out.
Yeah, no, I don't think you do, because these are the names of the players. It just so happens that it's lined up from left to right. So,
you know, I think for you and I, it would have been more applicable if he switched jerseys with Jaylen Brown, but
that's crazy. Anyways, so to add even more depth to this hilariously comedic story, the Orlando Magic today posted a new job to LinkedIn. They're looking for a social media graduate associate. What are the odds? What are the odds that a day after this incident, they post a new position to LinkedIn and they say, social media graduate associate, we're looking for a new post-grad within 24 months of graduation with knowledge and proficiency in Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, blah, 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 whatever. They're looking for a new guy to post pictures of jersey swaps, because the guy who posted it, maybe he needs to look out and see what these names on the jerseys say, because that's not really attention to detail. I mean, anyways, the Quang Ball is the Orlando Magic social media manager for looking at that picture and saying, hell yeah, let's post it. There's nothing wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
If you just take a look, you see it says on it. And he looked at it. He gave one long, hard look at it. One long, hard look at it and said, nothing wrong here. Nothing wrong here. Everything looks good. Yeah, let's post it. Let's shoot that one into the queue.
For that move, player, you get to go to the you get to use the Indeed method.
Yeah, you get to use the Indeed method. But so it turns out that a couple articles have come out now. And one from whiskeyriff.com. I don't know how credible this is, but he says the Magic deleted their Anthony Black and Grady Dick jersey swap post, but no, it didn't cost an intern their job. So upon further investigation, no, that job posting is not connected to the jersey swap. But this, honestly, this is probably one of my favorite cornball of the week, cornball of the weeks that I've ever done. I think this is a classic. This is an all-time funny here.
My so, God.
Yeah. Good to see. But the Orlando Magic social media team and manager, you are my cornball of the week for not opening your eyes and seeing what's wrong with that jersey swap.
Well, you can't go wrong with a little bit of Grady. Anyway. man, well, that was surely a cornball of the week.
Yep. Jeez. That was a cornball of the week of all time.
That surely was a cornball of the week. But that'll do it for our episode. Getting to the end here. Milo, what are you doing this weekend?
I don't know yet. I think we might go play a little bit more pickleball. Might go spend a little bit more time outside. Because it is getting a little bit nicer here. And we did find that park nearby, and it was a very nice park. So we might go indulge in a little bit more pickleball, ripping the pig skin around, throwing the football, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to be a little bit more outdoors as the weather gets nicer here. So, very nice. What about you?
Steve Irwin Mahaltis.
Steve Irwin, that's right.
Yeah.
Hopefully you don't get stung by a stingray.
Yeah, I really hope not, man, for sure.
Yeah, I'll let you know if I run into any.
You're acting like you're going to see one at a mall.
Yeah, I might. You never know. Those little mall kiosks, you know, where they sell like the little toys and everything. Maybe they got a little fish tank there, and there's a stingray there. Come look, the live stingray that killed Steve Irwin.
Stingray is a large dog. Oh my god. Do you think they like interviewed the stingray after and he's like, yeah, I killed him. What you gonna do about it?
I don't know. No.
I'm gonna hang out with Casey this weekend. Nice. Yeah, got softball. They're playing in the Mid River Classic, as we said. Tulsa versus North Texas, and other than, I think I'm gonna take Casey one of the softball games. But other than that, not much. Just keeping it low, keeping it down low.
Very, very nice. A little take your girlfriend to work day.
That is the one thing we do is take our girlfriends to work. You work at home, so you're always taking
your girlfriend to work. Yeah, it's take your girlfriend to work day for me every day between the hours of 6 o'clock and 7:30, and then of course from about 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m. There you go.
Noted.
Yeah.
All right, that's a perfect note to end this episode off. Good episode, Milo. I will talk to you next week, where we'll talk about the NIT.
Very nice. NIT.
Yeah, the Nice Individuals Tournament. If you enjoyed listening, then you'll love being a Mean Green 24/7 VIP. With basketball season in full swing and softball happening right now, you'll not want to miss content like By the Numbers, a look at UNT's wins and losses by the facts and the figures, along with On Deck, which is pretty much the same thing for softball. Also, you will not want to miss spring football coverage. I published a story today about Eric Morris being unhappy his players were sluggish after a spring football practice directly after spring break. Those Monday scaries will get you, buddy. And that is what happened. Stay tuned for that. Stay icy. And we will talk to you about the NIT next week. Have a very good day, everyone. Goodbye.